Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows here in the Seattle area, and we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. During the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks live from England. After Simon, I'll be doing prayers to help up clean up Fukushima with Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project from 3 to 3:15 p.m., and then from 3:15 to 4, I'll be interviewing some wonderful people who will be speaking at my Galactic Wisdom Conference next month on April 12th, 13th, and 14th, including Michiko, Jason Armstrong, who channels Adama, the High Priest of Telos from the Hollow Earth below Mount Shasta, and Billy Woodard and Zora of the Hollow Earth, among others. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio show, because it's Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I'd also like to thank my friends Corey and Saul in Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as Marian Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in beautiful London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who's helped support the program, including Sue in Ontario, Canada. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, we welcome your support. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience. With that, I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who support the show and been listening, my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW and Eric, who, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. Also, I just found out today that my good friend Carol was just in a car accident recently. Please send her lots of love, light, and positive energy. I know it'll help her, and I know that your good positive energy really, really help her. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email anytime to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be on April 12th, 13th, and 14th, 2019, in Olympia, Washington, about an hour south of Seattle, with some of the world's most famous healers and UFO people. After the conference, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit sacred sites and meet with Helpy Elders in Arizona from April 20th to the 28th. We'll meet in Sedona and then travel north to the Hopi. The cost is just $200 per person, with half the proceeds going to the Hopi for clean water, and the other half of the proceeds going to the nonprofit children's charity, the Emoto Peace Project, which teaches love and gratitude to children around the world. The cost for the Galactic Wisdom Conference is on April 13th and 14th is $125, or $75 a day. But if you'd like just to come down on Friday, April 12th, that's a free day, and you can come and meet all the speakers there and have a good time. I also wanted to tell you some wonderful psychic and spiritual fairs coming up. Tomorrow, on March 16th, I'll be sponsoring a day-long healing session with Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project. It'll be held at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, Washington, starting at about 12 noon. She'll give a brief presentation, and then she'll be giving healing sessions with her vibrational Hado machines. These are the same machines that Dr. Masaru Emoto used to successfully treat over 10,000 people before he passed away in 2014. If you'd like to come, please call me at 509-750-9793 or RSVP to me by email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I'll also be returning to Mount Shasta this year from July 2nd to the 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special, magical place where miracle healings do occur from the disillusions. When I was Mount Shasta last September, Adama, the high priest of Telos underneath Mount Shasta, healed the eyesight in my right eye. He restored it from where it had been blurry, farsighted vision, 20/50 vision, to crystal clear 20/10 vision, which I have now in both eyes. He also told me on these coming trips there will be more miracle healings. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I would recommend that you register soon because both trips are filling up now, and many people want to go. Finally, Denise Barrett is one of the sponsors of this program, and she's a wonderful person who offers Haro healing water and life coaching sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. Her website is www.hihado.com. She's a certified Haro instructor, and I encourage you to contact her if you'd like to try one of her wonderful Haro products. Her email is Denise, Denise.Barrett, Barrett, at hihado.com. And her phone number is 425-306-6316. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend Simon to the show. He's been patiently waiting here to get on the air. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm very well, thank you.
Oh, good.
I hope you can hear me fine. You're coming through a little bit crackly.
A little crackly. Well, hopefully, is this a little better, I hope?
No, that made it even worse.
I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I guess as long as you can hear me, let me ask Eric. Eric, does the audio sound okay from Simon? He says he gives a big thumbs up. He says it's good. So we'll continue with that. Simon has an amazing background, friends.
I can't hear you, Ted. It's so distorted. I can't make out your words.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me try this. Is this better here? If I back away from the microphone?
Yes, that's quite a lot better.
Okay, maybe it's because it's just amplified. Is that, can you hear me now? Okay, Simon?
Yes, that's what it normally sounds like, yes.
Okay, well, I do like to sound normal, so.
Oh, they're terrible.
So, anyway, I hope you can hear me normally. Well, good. Well, for those of you who don't know Simon, he's a wonderful fellow. He was an elected politician in the United Kingdom. He has an amazing background. Both of his parents were with British and did work for some work with the CIA of American intelligence. And he lends his perspective that's really unique to the world. And I always enjoy talking to him. He's got a wonderful heart, and he really wants to make a world a better place. Simon, there's all kinds of interesting things going on, isn't it? It's like if you have a television channel with cable, there's like 200 different channels going on all the time, and you want to watch all the programs all at once.
It's incredibly busy.
Yeah.
But we, that's you and I and many others, we sort of foretold this. We said that as we approach these latter years, things were going to get very, very difficult in some ways, but good in another way. Sure. So, yes, Ted, there's a great deal going on, and sometimes it's quite hard to keep a handle on everything.
Sure, absolutely. There's a lot of topics coming up now. I noticed I always review your website and your posts before I go on air. And on March 12th, you had a new post about Italy's new law that only children who've been vaccinated can attend school. I'd love your comments on that, Simon.
There's a huge push going on amongst the elite. There was an awards ceremony recently, and it was totally bizarre that people were. This is an awards ceremony live on television, and people were sort of going up and saying that they'd been vaccinated, and it was just, what on earth? Where is this coming from? Absolutely mad. Mm-hmm. And then we hear that Italy is saying that no school children can attend unless they've been vaccinated. There's lots of articles now on the official news about vaccinations, how good they are. Mm-hmm. Now, this is in response primarily, I've only got the British figures, but I bet you it's right across the world.
Sure.
They were reporting, the official news, the established news, were reporting that vaccinations in Great Britain were down for the first time for a number of years. And I think that this has been replicated all over the Western world. And I think the elite are spooked by this, and they've got their friends in the media to start pushing vaccinations. So that's what I think happened. There was the official reply, the official report, that in Great Britain, vaccination numbers were the lowest they'd ever been. Mm-hmm. modern age, and then suddenly all the established media start talking up vaccinations. It's pathetic. But again, as I said on my post, it just shows that these people are still in control.
Right. Right, absolutely. Well, that's interesting, Simon, for mentioning that. Thank you so much for saying that. I've been following the Ethiopian airline crash. I listened to a newscast yesterday, and in the crash, they mentioned the crash. It was a long analysis. The gentleman kept going over and over about safety and how this is probably a software program problem by Boeing. But in your post, you said that, quote, in relation to the Ethiopian airline crash, the one thing giving worry is the eyewitness statement saying that the plane was already on fire before it hit the ground.
And what's very strange is that that hasn't been followed up on. They're continually talking about the onboard computer, which is it's a revolution within that new aircraft. It's a sort of an anti-stall device, mm-hmm. so that when it detects the aircraft is potentially going into a stall, it takes over. And the unspoken chatter is that what's happening is this computer's detecting a stall when there isn't one, and therefore it's compensating, and basically it's fighting the pilots. So that's the official line under the table, but there are eyewitness statements which have been taken by the police who were first on the scene, and these eyewitness statements say that the airplane was on fire before it hit the ground. Now, legitimately, it could be an engine. It could have been an engine fire. That's perfectly possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I personally don't understand why, if they've got witness statements, and I know they have to that effect, why they're not talking more about this. So that set alarm bells ringing for me, because either they are totally discounting the witness statements, or somebody was behind this action, and they don't want to bring that person or that organization into the spotlight. So that's why I posted, because I'm very concerned that there may be a bit of a cover-up going on.
I don't know Ethiopian history really well, Simon. You probably know more about it than I do, but I know that they've had, like, discontent, civil discontent. Do they have domestic groups there that do try to disrupt the government? I know a lot of countries have that problem. I don't know a thing about Ethiopia, though.
Well, of course, if we went back a number of years, we would say Emperor Haile Selassie was the target, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
I think the important point with any passenger aircraft that goes down is to obtain the lists, the names of the passengers, because my understanding and experience in these matters is that when an aircraft goes down in suspicious circumstances, then it is better to look not for terrorist groups, but to look at who was on that airplane.
Oh, okay.
Now, we have had a list. I've seen a list of numbers, but not names. There have been, in the last 5 years, a number of very suspect losses of aircraft. Mm-hmm. And when the lists were finally got out, it became very obvious why those airplanes just vanished, because of the individuals on board. So I'm waiting to see what comes out on this one.
There are rumors, too, with respect to the Titanic sinking back in 1912, I think it was, or 11 or 12, Simon, that there were several U.S. politicians who were interested in, what were they going to do? They were going to stop...
It was the gold, and it was the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
And it would have hurt J.P. Morgan.
Oh, okay.
So there were people there who did not like the idea of a Fed starting up. They wanted to keep on the gold-backed system, and that would have hurt J.P. Morgan, because J.P. Morgan was one of the big movers behind, you know, the change from the gold back.
Sure.
So you know when the Federal Reserve was opened and started. So there are links between the manifest, i.e., that's the technical name for the people on the crew and on the staff and on the passenger list, and, you know, what jobs they do. So I'm just holding back and waiting to see if we can get some some clarity on who was on that flight. You see, people will say, well, that's a country that's at the back of beyond, you know, why would anybody be there? But you see, there sometimes are very important meetings held in these very strange countries in terms of, you know, they're off the beaten track.
Right.
And it might be also that friends or family were on that airplane. So sometimes it isn't the individual that's being got at, but sometimes it's their family that are being got at.
I see.
I'm just waiting to see what comes of it.
Well, let's on the show now, everyone listening today, let's send prayers to all the people that perished in that tragic crash, as well as to their families, too. I know that the spirits now are on the other side. I'm actually getting a message from them to send lots of love and light to them. So hopefully they'll heal. And love and energy is always, always welcome. And that brings me to your next posting on March 15th regarding New Zealand and Australia. You write, I've asked the New Zealand and Australian Connecting Consciousness Coordinators to organize meditation sessions to combat the nasty streak of energy leading to mass shootings there. Do you have any updates on that, Simon?
Not a huge amount. We have some very active Connecting Consciousness groups in Australia and New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And my first act was to, you know, email, and what we'll be doing, I hope, over the weekend is working with the coordinators to get their groups to, I'll give them some focus, but for them to do the work. The first thing that I thought of when the results of the shooting were first made available was that it was some sort of right-wing fanatic.
Right.
But the question for me is, what is in that person's head? So I'm going to be looking tomorrow very carefully at any photographs that have been released of the person. What I'm looking for is trauma and mind control.
Okay.
A number of shooters have clearly been under some form of mind control.
Mm-hmm.
Some very clearly have demonic. You know, not every shooter is a false flag. Some shooting is absolutely what it purports to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for any demonic entities in the person. I'm looking for any signs of mind control. You know, it's obviously genuine. This is not a complete fake. This is really genuine. People have suffered. And so we, you know, our thoughts and minds are with those people who've lost their lives and those who are left behind who are going to miss very close people to them. So my first act actually is to do this, get this meditation worked out, because I want to try and make sure that whatever energy caused that in that country, we can try and put a stop to that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there was on my way to the studio this morning, Simon, here in Seattle, I heard a broadcast about a tragic shooting of like 45 people in a mosque in Christchurch. I didn't even know Christchurch, forgive me, had any people from the Islamic faith. But there it was on the newscast. And I know that 15, 20 years ago, Christchurch had, it was one of the safest places to live in the world, too. It was rated that. So.
Well, Ted, before we move on to the next one, sometimes places that are the safest to live sometimes are targeted.
Oh, okay.
Because one of the best ways from the negative point of view to break up stability and to weaken humanity's trust
mm-hmm.
is to hit areas that up to now have not seen anything. So if it was a shooting in downtown New York, it wouldn't have that much effect. People would just shrug their shoulders and they'd go on. But if a shooting occurs in what has been the most peaceful place, then the effect is greater. And that's why when the false flag attacks are done, they're sometimes done to create that huge feeling of fear. And you get more fear if you have an incident in a hitherto peaceful place
sure.
than a place that's continually full of gunfight.
I don't want to talk too much about this today, but if you look at the assassination of our great late president, John F. Kennedy, that was done in wide open, in the middle of a presidential motorcade. And they were, I mean, if you look at it back then, Simon, in 1963, they were so trusting, they would never thought that a sitting president would ever have been assassinated like that in open public, but yet it was. So,
yes, I think what we can add is that nowadays, of course, the whole route is completely scanned. So any tall buildings or buildings that overlook a motorcade, those buildings are thoroughly checked beforehand. Whereas back then, they didn't even bother it. You know, they just didn't do it.
Right.
And so, you know, that this is how the world is now, changed remarkably.
Yeah. Well, I long for those days, Simon, when the world was a more peaceful and harmonious place. But I know we've talked about this many times before, Simon, but I know there's a better future for humanity. And that's why I know you work as hard as you do, and I do too, and many light workers around the world we're all working very hard to make this planet a better place. So we will have a beautiful, harmonious future.
Yes.
And with that, there was another post on your website, Simon, on March 5th about...
Ted, I can't hear you again. You've gone all crackly.
Sorry. Can you hear me now? Is this better?
Yes, that's a bit better.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry. It seems like if I get like more than 4 inches closer to the mic, it starts getting crackly. So anyway, you have a post on your website on March 5th about three combustible devices placed at British airports and train stations appear to be the work of an amateur, possibly a right-wing group, but so far very little to go on. Any updates from that, Simon?
The only thing to go on was that a code word was given when the devices were placed to a media company, mm-hmm. and the code word was a code word that was still an active code word used by the IRA. But we mustn't jump to conclusions,
sure.
because other people may well know the code word and use it. The devices were not designed to kill. Mm-hmm. They were just designed to make a lot of smoke and flames and cause fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not jumping immediately for a breakaway faction of the IRA. I'll just wait and see. You know, it seems every major country in the West has these strange letter bomb type devices or these devices that don't actually go up with a great big bang, but they go up with more smoke and flame than anything else. I'm looking to see if there's a thread linking some of these things. But, you know, yes, it could certainly be a breakaway group of the IRA, but at the moment I don't understand what the IRA would have a problem with, because, you know, they are in a fairly strong political position.
Sure.
So we'll have to wait and see on that. But certainly it was important because it was, you know, a major airport in Great Britain and other key locations. So I think there's a message. It wasn't so much what this device could do, but what the message behind placing that device was all about. So I actually believe it was more political than anything else.
Yeah, and what I'm getting from my spirit friends on the other side, it wasn't the IRA at all. It was simply using their code word to implicate them, to give them more bad press, something. I don't know. But and this also goes back to your earlier comment, too, that negative elements often find a beautiful, peaceful place, like Britain. Britain is a beautiful, peaceful place, beautiful country, wonderful people. But they pick a place like your country to cause disturbances, to further their own negative agenda. But... that's too bad. Yeah.
I'm amazed here in Great Britain, 2019,
mm-hmm.
and we don't arm our policemen.
That's right,
Our cops are not armed. I mean, obviously there are every area has a specialist team sort of in their cars waiting with guns.
Right.
But the ordinary cops who do the patrol, they're on the beat, don't carry guns.
Wow.
And you know, it's amazing. It's 2019,
right.
and you know, we the reason we haven't gone down that road is simply because the number of homicides per portion of the population is very, very low.
Right. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's wonderful. You think about it.
Well, I mean, you guys, obviously, the cops have guns. In Germany, they do.
Yeah.
Italy, they do.
Right.
France, they do.
Right.
You know, there's not many countries that the police don't have a gun. And
right.
You know, on one hand, you think, well, that's not very good. But when you talk to police officers, when you talk to cops in other countries, they actually say, I wish we could be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that we can't go back to that now because the level of of guns is so high,
right,
we can't go back to that point.
Right.
So far from sort of laughing at Britain, other countries are saying that's just incredible.
Yeah.
They just don't get their head around it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing, really. And well, you live in a beautiful country, Simon, and my hat's off to your police for not having guns, mm-hmm. not having guns. Before we start, I've gotten in a whole bunch of questions from many listeners, Simon. Are there any particular topics you'd like to focus in on before I go on to the questions from our listeners?
No, I'm fine today, thank you. I thought we'd try and get through some of those questions. It's so good of your audience to write in.
Oh, right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I have a question I just got in from Bridget. I'm not sure where Bridget's from, actually, but she writes, in the past few months, I've been seeing the numbers 11:11 on my clock every single morning, with few exceptions. On some occasions, if I miss seeing it, I will see 1:11 instead. There are even days like today, for example, where I see both. Can you ask Simon what's the special meaning behind this? And I have to footnote that is that my conference next month on April 12th, 13th, and 14th, of which you'll be giving a Skype presentation on Sunday morning, April 14th, is just off of exit 111 off the freeway here. So I see exit 111 too. So anyway.
Right, Ted. Through the power of numerology, numbers are assigned actions. Mm-hmm. And not just that, when you put series of numbers together, mm-hmm. they're actions. It's a bit like tarot cards. You mm-hmm. read one tarot card on its own, but when you look at it in a suite of a suit of cards, right. it begins to tell a story. Now, the Freemasons have portals, which really quite features heavily in all of their artwork, mm-hmm. and they call them Joachim and Boaz, and these are the two pillars that stand either side, and King Solomon's temple indeed had the two pillars, and this is 1-1. Now, before the audience start jumping up and running around mad, it's not actually negative. Mm. It's just the symbol representing portal technology. So if you're seeing 1-1 and 1-1, that's actually a positive sign. It is not a negative sign. It is meaning that there's the movement of transference, the ability to move from one stage to the next stage. Mm. Now, with 9/11, it was 1-1 because it was the Twin Towers, 1 and 1.
Oh, I see.
Wasn't evil, the fact it was 1-1, but it represented moving from one stage to another stage. Now, in this instance, it was a negative movement because we went from a semi-free place to an absolutely not free place with all the rules and the laws that were brought in.
Right.
So 1-1 is merely a signpost on the freeway telling you that you'd be ready to make a move. Mm-hmm. And if you're a good person, you'll move in a good, positive way. If you're a negative person, then you'll have a negative movement. So that's what it means.
Oh, fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. Here's another question that just got in from Rosemary. I'm not sure where Rosemary's from, but she says, "Hi, Ted, could you please ask Simon about the recent visits of John Podesta and Hillary Clinton to New Zealand? They are welcomed by our government." Oh, she must be New Zealand, advising them to watch out for Russian interference in their New Zealand elections. Many are linking this to the recent false flag in Christchurch. Please advise on who to contact for connecting consciousness meditation.
Okay, this was a subject I didn't really want to touch on. That's
okay.
I've got to say something now because.
Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't know.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Before President Trump was elected, mm-hmm. we had a President Obama.
Right.
And a number of people went to Antarctica to have a visit. And they had a chat.
Okay.
And they got what they wanted, so nothing negative followed. But what happened was President Trump won the election and the whole deal that had been negotiated had to be renegotiated. Now, sometimes when governments are engaged by something or someone, and the government does not do what that individual or organization wants, then there is usually a payback.
Oh, I see.
So that's what I'm going to say. So that's why I want to see some photographs of the shooter. I want to see if this person is mind controlled. But it is no coincidence that key people go to a country, meet high-ranking people, and then, of course, there is a very tragic situation that follows.
I see. Okay. Okay, well, thanks, Simon. And again, I didn't mean to ask your question you'd rather not go into, but that's fine.
That's okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. This is an email I got last week, received from Giuliano in Switzerland. And it's a little cryptic, but perhaps you know a little bit about it. It's one directed to both Benjamin Fulford and yourself.
I can't hear again. You're a bit crackly.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay, Simon?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right. This is an email from Giuliano in Switzerland. I received it about a week ago. It's addressed to both you and Benjamin Fulford, but it's a little cryptic. Perhaps you know what he's talking about. There's a YouTube video that you talk about Switzerland. And he writes, Switzerland is not a constitutional state. It only acts as if we were a constitutional state. Mm-hmm. And he says that the Swiss press has not been truthful with the public for 30 years and doesn't write anything about my pending trial and the whole truth. Could you please address my complaint? But again, it's not real clear. I don't know what he's really talking about. But
right. All I can tell you is that there are certain places on the planet where the elite have disengaged themselves from any legal control. Uh-huh. And your audience might be surprised to learn that obviously they know Switzerland because they're absolutely right, but Germany has no real constitution. Uh-huh. Deliberately. You see, when the West and East existed separately, West Germany had a constitution, and then when the Berlin Wall came down and the West took over the East, they did not rewrite the constitution. So in actual fact, it means that certain individuals can operate outside of the law. The other place, of course, is the Vatican. Mm-hmm. The other place, of course, is the City of London. Mm-hmm. There are one or two places in America that are separate from the state and the federal laws around them, and you'll know those. So I honestly don't know quite this gentleman, quite what he's referring to.
Right.
But if you are in one of those key locations and you have a legal or a difficult ongoing with the elite, then you don't have any sort of law to fall back on,
right,
because the law is not designed to protect you. I mean, Switzerland was, you know, I sometimes wonder, people who listen to this show and other shows, mm-hmm, they got it. But the vast majority of people who don't listen to these shows, they don't get it. And I don't understand why people don't question why Switzerland has never invaded.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason Switzerland has never invaded is because all of the elite in every country sat down around a table and said, look, we need somewhere to put our money. We need somewhere to put everything that we've got stolen or robbed or whatever it is.
Right.
And I tell you what, I won't invade if you don't invade.
Mm-hmm.
So Switzerland's neutrality is not because they run around bandaging people up because they're really humanitarian.
Right.
It's because they hold money from just about every despot, just about every corporation, just about every individual who doesn't want to pay tax and who doesn't want anybody asking questions. So certain countries are above the law. And if you are in conflict with the elite and you're in such a country, you do not have any grounds for defense.
Interesting. Wow. Thanks for the out-of-this-world explanation, Simon. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's something I hadn't thought of. Thank you for listening, for sharing that. I have a funny email from Gidget in Africa. She doesn't say where, but she's somewhere in Africa. And actually, she goes on. She says, "I just have a question, quick question." And then there's like four that follow that. But anyway, I'll try to summarize them. The first part was that earlier, this must have been a week or two ago, a couple weeks ago, you were talking about some high-ranking politician on a tape or video molesting a child. I've noticed that the press usually doesn't say the name of the politician. Why do you think the mass media doesn't include the name? Obviously, they're trying to cover it up. I don't know, but that's what she asked roughly about.
Simply because you are either on one side of the fence or the other. Mm-hmm. And if you are an established mouthpiece
right.
for the elite and you've been going for 25, 35, whatever years, mm-hmm. You are under orders. And people tend to think of these huge media corporations as so powerful that they can do what they want. But that's actually not right.
Right.
These huge, powerful organizations are still on the end of a telephone to somebody else who is more powerful than they are.
Mm.
And there are certain key individuals who the elite do not want to lose, not because that individual is important to them. That's not the reason. The reason is if you are seen to give up one of your key lieutenants, then everybody else thinks it's open season. If an organization does not fight tooth and nail to keep its key people, then everyone else below them starts to jump out of the ship. Mm. And so that's why they have done everything they can in the media to hide the truth. Because once the dam is broken, then the dam is broken. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they attack President Trump. And I've always said this, that if President Trump was really a guy secretively working for the bad side, the newspapers and the media would be supporting him like crazy, talking him up, saying how well he was doing.
Right.
But they don't.
Right.
They attack him at every opportunity they have.
That's true.
And the reason is because they don't control him. Mm-hmm. So they don't can't blackmail him. They haven't got anything on him to make him do what they want.
Right.
The only thing, and I've been consistent with this, is his family's children are Jewish. So he does have a strong connection to the Jewish state.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there is a link there. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, show me many U.S. presidents that don't have an interest in one aspect of something or another.
Sure.
But at least with President Trump, there's nothing on him to blackmail him. And if there had been collusion with Russia,
right.
Surely to goodness me, he would have been charged with it now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, looking at the paperwork now, and he just sent a tweet out, didn't he, saying, you know, well, okay, I'll just veto you. And even the established Mail newspapers are saying, we don't understand what the Congress is doing, because it's pointless, because first of all, you need 2/3 in each house
right.
to stop a president's national emergency decree.
Mm-hmm.
But then even if both houses give that, the president can still veto it.
Right.
So what even the established media is saying, well, this is a dead end street. What right. on earth are you doing? So there are some journalists now who are beginning to question, it's not about the Democrats and the Republicans, it's about this fanatic hatred of President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's have some evidence to show that he's done these things. I mean, you know, I'm waiting for evidence about Hillary Clinton. I'm waiting for evidence about Obama, and I'm waiting on Podesta. I want this evidence out, because then, you know, paying hush money to a very attractive woman will pale into insignificance if evidence comes forward of senior politicians hurting children.
Sure, absolutely.
It's about a balance here. It's about what's relative in our life. You know, there are there are American people getting hot under the collar because of a wall that is proposed to be built in the border of Mexico. Why don't they get hot under the collar about all of the thousands of children in the United States that suddenly just disappear and no one seems to know where they go? Right. Why is it okay just to say, oh, well, that's the way it is in a big, big country? Why is this throwaway attitude to human life? So, you know, I want the truth out there. I want these indictments. I mean, I've just received some evidence about the guy who's now being tried at the moment. I think you call it Gitmo, don't you?
Gitmo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't call it that in Great Britain. Right. We use the long version. We say yeah. Guantanamo
yeah.
Bay.
Yeah.
But there is a case going on, and I've been sent some stuff, and I haven't had time to look at it because I've been worried about the shooting. But I've been consistent. I want the lot out. I think people deserve to know the truth. Yeah. I've never, ever held the view that somebody says, well, I don't think the public are ready for the truth.
Yeah.
I've never believed that. I think that you don't have the right to say, I will give you this, but I won't give you that. I think you have to say, here's the lot. Here's the evidence. I've opened the drawer. I've tipped everything out on the table. Those are the cards. Have a look at it. And that's what I want those people who are the good guys to do, and let the public wake up. But as I've said before, and I don't mean to go on, but I'm very passionate about this, that my concern is that President Trump is terrified of collapsing the House of Cards. Mm-hmm. You see, President Trump stood on that platform and he said to the American people, elect me and I will make America great again.
Sure.
And I'm sure that in the back of his mind, he's worried that if he does what I and you, Ted, and many others want, maybe the whole guts of the US falls out in terms of confidence, in terms of a prestige, in terms of money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe America collapses. Mm-hmm. And so he's just terrified that if economically America collapsed, he can't make good his election pledge. And this, I think, is the battle going on in his mind. How much truth can he give to the United States public
sure.
without crashing the economy?
Sure.
And that's the battle that's going on at the moment.
Fascinating. I always felt in his speeches and what's going on in politics in this country that there is a battle going on, of course, but it's like people sometimes can only go so far because they don't want to destroy everything in the process. It's a very delicate process, and I certainly wish him well. It's not an easy task. Gidget, I'm so sorry if you're listening now. You have several more questions, but in the interest of fairness, I've received other questions as well. I'll go on to those, and if I can, I'll ask Simon your questions, and if not, then the next time. I have a request from New Zealand.
Ted, I can't hear you again, I'm afraid. I think you've just gotten a bit closer to the mic.
Okay. Sorry about that. I got a request. Can you hear me now, Simon?
Yes, okay. That's better. Thank you.
From Julianne in New Zealand, and she sent me this picture, this adorable little baby who is fighting for his life. He's very ill, and she wanted me to read this out on the airwaves, so I'm going to do that. His name is Archie, and make him smile again. They need money for some medical expenses. And if you want to donate to a good cause, please go to www.givealittle.co.nz. And so they're asking you and Simon, you and I, and everyone around the world to send them some good love and light. So that's a good thing to do. The other question, I'd like to get to Marion in Rainier, Washington. Hi, Ted. Hi, Simon. Many thanks to both of you. My question for Simon: recently, President Trump spoke on behalf of speeding up the availability of 5G and even 6G towards making the technology available. It has been suggested that there's a connection between 5G and 6G in the wall, that together these will create some sort of frequency protection for the United States, I guess, on our border. Simon, what do you think about this? Have you heard of this?
Yes, I have. It's absolutely no doubt in my mind that these sort of high levels of microwaves are weaponized.
Mm-hmm.
5G, 6G, whatever else you want to call it. It's a frequency that is weaponized. Now, what's really interesting for me is that there are, if I say rumors, that sounds pretty awful, but I can't put it any more than that at the moment because I haven't had a sit down chat with somebody directly. But there are rumors coming out that President Trump has been made aware that the concept of 5G, whilst in its paperwork side is pretty good, could be used either to weaken humanity, either deliberately or not deliberately. And I understand that there is some think tank or some body that he's group of people he's got together to research it, because he's quite open. He's not a scientist, as he says. He doesn't understand these things. He's quite open about them. I don't understand these things, but I'm going to ask people who do understand them and report back. Right. Now, that's very interesting, because I've never known a president like President Trump for organizing inquiries on the private. He does absolutely loads of inquiries that are not reported. He does it in secret. He gets a group of seven or eight people together, and they go and research stuff for him in a way that no other U.S. president ever did. Wow. And he does this because he can't trust the media. He can't trust certain groups. And so he's doing this. Now, I'm hoping that the information he's going to get back will shake the pants off him, because I'm hoping the information that he'll get back, he'll say, wow, I didn't know this. And therefore we might see a tweaking, a difference to the rollout of 5G. But that's if this report comes back, as we hope it will do. It's worth, before I finish, it's worth just saying that there are certain countries that the elite, the real elite, love to go and have a holiday.
Really?
And they take their wives and they take their kids with them. And it might be a place where, say, in southern France, there might be a place where there's a lot of horse racing. There might be lots of other places. And it's interesting that the local government in these key locations have been told not to put up, and they don't have any cell mast coverage. So there are a number of key places over the last 20 years where the elite go with their families for their summer holidays, their vacation, and there are no cell masts. So what do they know that we don't know?
Interesting. I know they did a test of 5G in Amsterdam last November, and all these birds and all this wildlife died everywhere. People felt really dizzy. There was also another test of 5G, putting them on top of fire stations in California. And the place that it tested it out, all of the firemen ended up getting genetic damage, all kinds of health problems, cancer. So the Firemen's Association protested, and now they've stopped 5G in California fire stations. So it's certainly an area that it's a technology that perhaps has not been fully tested on the health effects that people have to be careful of.
Well, you see, this is the key, that the elite get bombarded with these waves as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it might be that if you weaponize a phased array, what I mean by that is a digital beam that can move without actually moving the antenna. You can phase the array without actually moving the metal parts. It might be that you can concentrate it into a beam, even though it's in a city, and it can become a weapon. But it might be that when you fan it out, it's not a weapon. So, you know, this 5G is not what it seems. There's a real drive. I mean, look at the desperate push to get this across. It's I've never seen it before. I wish they'd build hospitals with the same determination. I wish they'd build, you know, proper drinking water places. I've never seen such a determination to get something up, and that should make everyone's alarm bell ring.
Well, or build new schools, or hire more teachers, or protect the environment, or clean up Fukushima. Yep. I mean, you name it. The list goes on and on. And Fukushima, by the way, was 311? It was 7 years ago. No, seven? 8 years ago now. But interesting. I'm going to go back to one of Gidget's questions now. She's got several here, but I think this is an interesting one. Many people, she writes, have said that the dark forces are now somehow obligated to let the masses know what they're planning to do before they do it. And then once they let us know, then it's okay in their mind. She writes, like the way they announced 9/11 in the Matrix film before 2001, where there's a nanosecond shot of the passport of Neo, where the expiration date is 9/11/2001. I've heard this before. I'd love your comment on that.
They've always had to do it. It's called, you see, when I use the word black magic, right, it conjures up in people's minds evil magic. And this is not accurate. Black magic merely means occult magic. Mm-hmm. And black magic and occult magic, it means hidden magic. And a good man makes good magic, and a bad man makes bad magic. So I prefer the word satanic magic, mm-hmm, when I'm trying to get across in a debate or an argument about evil magic. Now, these Hollywood studios are very much into occult magic. Mm-hmm. Remember yourself that Walt Disney Sr. himself was an occultist. Some say he was a Satanist. Mm-hmm. So these studios understand, and they are under orders to put out information, but in such a way as that it is not going to be understood by the level of consciousness at that time. So the great one, I know you just read some out, but the best one, mm-hmm, ever was Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2. Mm. That was the best indicator of 9/11. And that was made. That film, I think, was made in 1991. I think. Mm-hmm. So we know, obviously, at least since 1991, that the towers were going to come down. But the reality is, they were already designed to come down when they built it.
Wow, fascinating.
Well, the architects, mm-hmm, the architects, and I hope some of your enterprising researchers can find the time to have a look at this. But the architects who built the Twin Towers, their street address, their number on their street address was 666.
Oh, goodness. My goodness. Yeah.
Understand that. Wow. You understand the magic. So, in the Terminator film, what are we doing for time? I've got about a minute left.
We've got about a minute and a half left. Yeah.
Okay. In the Terminator film, Schwarzenegger playing the good robot.
Right.
Saves the young boy and puts him onto his motorbike.
I remember
and
that.
They're going under these storm drain things. I mean, in California, and that you have these great big thingies, wherever it is. Anyway, and then it's under this low bridge thing, and of course, the height of the bridge is 911.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Get the DVD, and you can or watch it on YouTube. You can get that moment, and the bad guy, you know, smashes into it because it takes the top of his truck off.
Oh my goodness.
They are obligated to answer the question. They're obligated to tell us what their plans are, because if they don't do that, they're not allowed to do it. That's how the magic works.
Interesting.
But they do it in a way that we don't spot straight away.
Sure. We've got about 30-40 seconds left, Simon. I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful show today.
Oh, well, thank you. It's your wonderful show, Ted. No. I'm really just invited on here to talk. So it's just basically to say that if your listeners and your audience can just keep an eye on what's happening in America, don't get bored with the politics, and remember it's more than just Democrat and Republican. And please, ladies and gentlemen, don't get into this fight between Republican and Democrat. It's far more serious than that.
Simon, I hope you have a wonderful and happy day, and thank you again so much for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ted. God bless.
Okay, take care, my friend. Say hi to your cats for me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Meow. Please stay tuned, friends, to our next hour. Thank you so much for listening today.